from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
This is where you make your money in the NFL. The Bears trying to be a strong red zone team this season. They were 13th in the red zone last year in TD rate. Bajent on the move to the pylon. And he is in for the touchdown. We'll have to check the marker on the play, but a great effort by Tyson Bajent on the dive to the pylon.
Secret.
Bajent.
Man, secret. Bajent. Man, they've given you a number and taken away your name.
I mean, yeah. Secret Bajent Man is alive and well, and you know, 2-2 last year as an undrafted rookie. Marshall Harris, Anthony Heron here with you.
Who do we credit for that, by the way? Is that a Robbie Triano original? Is that a Tyler Farrengold
situation? We have to give credit to Brandon Fryer from the morning crew.
All right, Brandon Fryer making that happen. Yep, shout out to Brandon Fryer. Well done. Got all the Tylers back there somewhere right now, too. Got Tyler Butterball back there holding down, too. We got like 13 Tylers at the station. And the majority of them are on the other side of the glass right now.
We're talking a lot of Bears. We got Cubs coming up here at the bottom of the hour. But before that, we're still talking Bears for a moment. And listen, our next guest, we got some things to talk about. Mike Renner covers the NFL for CBS Sports, also host of the Pushing the Pile podcast with Kyle Long. He joins us now via the Score Hotline, which is presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Mike, how are you doing today as we wrap up a Bears preseason and you get ready for the NFL's regular season? Let me be friendly in my tone as we start this conversation. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
We are excited to have you on. I have questions. You tweeted earlier today, 9 hours ago, according to my Twitter feed, Bajent was beating out Fields if they never traded him. I just want to make sure Tyson Bajent was never beating out Justin Fields if they never traded him. That's the tweet, right?
That is. I don't know why you're so downtrodden. Are you a Steelers fan?
No, I'm not a Steelers fan. Are you saying that Tyson Bajent is better than Justin Fields right now, or he was always better than Justin Fields? I'm trying to get to the message behind the tweet.
Some context.
Yeah, because some context.
I'm saying what I've seen from Bajent this preseason was closer to what you would want from a franchise quarterback than anything I've ever seen from Fields, just in terms of operating an NFL offense. Every time Justin Fields steps out onto a football field, it turns into, unfortunately, good or bad, it turns into the Justin Fields show because of his inability to, honestly, it's work over the middle of the field with timing. That's been the biggest thing, and then work under pressure. So when those are, you know, when he's turning down those routes consistently, when he's reacting to pressure mightily and turning into a runner pretty much immediately, it's just going to be the Justin Fields show every time you see him. Whereas with Bajent, I think he just has more answers. What we've seen from this preseason, it really has been lights out quarterbacking, and you've seen a lot of advancement from year one to year two, obviously coming from D2 and what he's done. So that's what that tweet means. That's what I meant by that tweet.
Okay, Anthony, do you agree with the premise of the tweet?
No, I don't think Tyson Bajent was going to beat out Justin Fields. But, I mean, I agree that Tyson Bajent is a good football player who's improved from last season to this. I'm curious, by comparison, now there is a different young Bears quarterback who is a first-round pick, who is now currently the Bears' starting QB. Then how do you compare and contrast Tyson Bajent with Caleb Williams?
Now, he doesn't have near the tools that Caleb Williams does. I think Williams, you see, just
well, he doesn't have near the tools Justin Fields has either, though. So I mean, the comparison doesn't stop there, right?
He's got similar arm talent to Fields and probably a quicker release, which that matters in the NFL, right? Oh. When you have that ability to get it out quickly with Fields, that exaggerated release that you see consistently and exaggerated movements in the pocket, it just comes back to haunt him a lot. So I think Bage is just a little bit better mover within the pocket. Caleb Williams, though, elite mover within the pocket, elite arm talent, like tier one in that regard. And then his ability to, you know, make guys miss out in space is pretty high end too. So, yeah, I think Bajan's more comfortable in the offense right now than Williams is, but you drafted that guy number one overall, you got to give him up speed in that offense by getting them some reps. So that's why they're at.
Wow. I just, the arm talent being the same is, that's what threw me off a little bit. If he had said, like, his reads are quicker, like Bajan's reads are quicker than
Fields. Or the more accurate passer.
Yeah, like, but some things I pop gun arm is not what I'm saying. I'm not calling him like Juan Pierre out there. But I'm saying Tyson Bagent, there's a reason why he is where he is and why he was undrafted and everything else. And arm strength is, in my opinion, the top factor in that. But, hey, I'm not on Mike Renner's level. He does a great job in doing his job. Mike, overall, are the Bears fans getting a little over ahead of themselves, I should say, in terms of looking at this team as one that can make the playoffs, in your opinion?
I don't think they're getting ahead of themselves. I mean, we saw down the stretch last year what they could do, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, this was an elite defense. I think that second half of the season when everyone was healthy, and they've only seemingly added to it over the course of the offseason. They have a lot of young guys that you think will even improve. So I don't think they're getting ahead of themselves at all. If they were in the South, I'd be taking them to win the South right now. But they're in the North, unfortunately. It's going to be a tough division to play against, but I do think it really just depends. If Caleb's ready day one, they could even take the North, right? Like, this team is as talented, maybe not as Detroit, but definitely as talented as Green Bay in terms of being able to go toe-to-toe at every different position along the football field. So, yeah, I don't think they're getting ahead of themselves whatsoever. Ryan Poles has done a fantastic job with this rebuild over the past couple of years.
Where's the area for the Bears of most concern that should stand out going into the season?
It's got to be pass rush, right? I think Montez Sweat really transformed that, but he is just one guy. And you'll see a lot of teams have game plans for him consistently this year. And so just finding someone else, finding that number two who can get after the quarterback, that's the one place where there could be games where they're not getting to opposing quarterbacks. And in the NFL, if you give quarterbacks time, chances are they're going to carve you up.
I'm interested to see, because you're talking about the Bears in that division, and where they obviously, it seems like everybody believes they're the third best team in the division. And I'm wondering what would have to happen for them to take the leap into the top two of the division in your eyes. Is it as simple as Caleb Williams being, I don't want to say CJ Stroud like, but having a great rookie season? Or is it more to it to that from your lens?
Yeah, it's that, truthfully. I mean, there's been what? I think Baker Mayfield had a season that if they had on the Bears right now, they'd be a playoff team. Justin Herbert had one where if that's what Caleb looks like, they'd be a playoff team. It wasn't just C.J. Stroud who hit the ground running like that. There's been a handful, but it is more rare. You know, Trevor Lawrence was billed in the same regard as Caleb Williams. Now he went to a tougher situation, but easier said than done, saying this rookie quarterback is going to play like he did in college in the NFL. So that's really all it is, in my opinion, is if he's ready, the rest is there to be a playoff team.
Mike Renner of CBS Sports, our guest here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, Marshall Harris and Anthony Herron. You can find Mike on the X at @MikeRenner_. He is an NFL and draft analyst and also co-hosts the Pushing the Pile podcast with Kyle Long. So because the text line is lighting up so much about the
Bajent
versus Fields, thing, and you probably noticed, you might have gotten quite a few notifications with that tweet that went out earlier today. Like Marshall says, about 10 hours ago at this point, Bajent was beating out Fields if they never traded him. So I suppose I'll revisit that only just for the context, because a lot of folks have varying opinions on what you actually meant by that. Some folks, texting in like, well, he's not saying that, that Bajent would have beaten out Fields. He's just saying he's better at playing quarterback.
He literally said Bajent would beat out Fields.
That is the tweet, that Bajent would beat out Fields, and then the whole arm talent thing. And I'll say this, Mike, because the way I try to describe it when I'm sort of breaking down the game to people, I do view arm talent as being a different thing from arm strength. I think there's not a doubt in this world, unless you would disagree, Justin Fields has a stronger arm than Tyson Bagent, but I do believe even in arm talent, the nuance with the way the ball can be thrown, I think Justin is more than capable of that as well. But operating within the pocket, throwing on time and in rhythm with accuracy, I would agree that Tyson Bagent executes some of those aspects of just passing the football as a traditional cornerback better than Justin Fields does. So I want to revisit the Bagent versus Fields thing, because the text line, it just has all kinds of varying opinions, as I'm sure your social media feed did as well. And that's a part of where the Caleb end of this, I think, has some context to it also, because Caleb is a guy who's exceptional off script, and we've seen plenty of that during this preseason as well. But to the Bagent versus Fields thing, if Justin Fields were still the Bears quarterback, if I'm not mistaken, you're saying Tyson Bagent would be the starter over Justin Fields going into this season. Is that your point?
I do think so. And now it's also, I was more thinking, if Justin Fields were still in the fold and you had drafted Caleb Williams and those two are still in the fold, I think Bagent wins the number two job. I just think you feel better about what his floor looks like right now, because as I said, Fields just was variable, and it was variable because of the big plays. He was so reliant on those that consistently being able to move an offense down the football field was not his strength. And you're seeing it, I saw it at least this preseason with the Steelers, and now it's obviously learning a new offense for him, but turning down those open guys over the middle of the field still, it's just been his MO. And then the pressure, being able to consistently deliver strikes under pressure, that's what you got to do in the NFL. And with Fields, we never really saw that. We never really saw that next step where we're seeing it with Caleb and we're seeing it with Bagent this preseason.
And one of the things that I've sort of pointed out to some folks as well is because I think Tyson Bagent, he's a good football player who has grown from last year to this season. There was, because of all the QB frustration and consternation in this town, I do believe the Tyson Bagent conversation got pretty outsized last year, but the expectations are just different. The backup quarterback is usually uber popular if people are displeased with the starter. As you see the growth of Tyson Bagent from last year to this, I mean, what's your sense for what you believe the ceiling for him as an NFL quarterback could be?
Yeah, and that's the other thing is, like, you saw massive growth. Now, last year when he was on the field, that wasn't banging the table. I didn't think it was anything like special in those four games, but he was coming from a D2 school, right? It's the fact that you've seen such growth from such a low level of competition where D2 is pretty tough in terms of there's just not the athletes there. Like, the windows are much bigger than even like D1 football. If you throw a guy D2 to D1, it'd be a massive step up for him. So to just year one in the NFL, even keep his head above water, was impressive, in my opinion. To then take the step forward in terms of the calm in the pocket that we saw and just his footwork and like getting to a third read with his footwork on time, something that not every quarterback gets to. It gets to that point in their development. So seeing that already, where a ceiling could push to, it's always difficult to say with a guy, but I think his ceiling is NFL starter at minimum. Now, is it elite NFL starter? I don't know, but like Tony Romo was, a UDFA who had similar sort of noise that he made early on in his career,
right,
and obviously ended up being probably a top five quarterback at times throughout his career with, not the strongest of arms, but definitely a plus athlete. So if you're looking for what his upside could be, I think around that kind of range, hopefully.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Well, I get where you're coming from. Like, I just, I just have to say I disagree, and that's fine. And then sometimes we agree to disagree, right? So like that's a thing. I think he has a pretty defined ceiling. I don't think he's reached it yet, but I don't think it's as high as Justin Fields. Definitely not as high as Caleb Williams, and a lot of other quarterbacks. His ceiling just isn't as high. But I like his floor. I like where he came in. I like what he's shown as an undrafted free agent, and I like what he's shown in us preseason, albeit preseason. And the hope for most Bears fans is that they don't see any Tyson Bagent anytime soon. So what is your prediction in terms of wins for this team now that we've kind of seen what they are, seen what they have? You saw the news about the big trade that they made earlier today. What do you think the ceiling is for Bears wins? Or what is your prediction, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I think I've compared them to last year's Packers, where this seems like kind of the year before the year. Where they're going to, so I think 9 wins is where I have them at, which, you know, a nice little bump up, but not quite to where you want to go. But it's a rookie quarterback. No rookie quarterback's ever won the Super Bowl, so it's kind of the year before the year. You're hoping year two is when Caleb really gets you to that 13-14 win season.
Mike, we appreciate you joining us. Mike Renner covering the NFL for CBS Sports, host of the Pushing the Pile podcast with Kyle Long. I know that's a newer podcast, so good luck with that, and thanks so much for joining us here on 670 The Score.
For sure, fellas. Appreciate the debate. Have a good one.
Thanks, Mike.
Was it a debate, though? Was it a debate? I mean, like, he made a point. I disagreed. You kind of, like, said, I see where you might be coming from, but he letting you know that's probably not where he's coming from. And now you've got the people, like you said on the text line, some of them are like, this guy has no credibility. Other people are like, I've been trying to tell you all the time that Tyson Bagent was better than Justin Fields. So now it's just a whole other thing that we have to deal with, but let me stop right now. Breaking news on 670 The Score, presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Just want to tell you about a move that the Cubs just made. They have recalled infielder Luis Vasquez from AAA Iowa and designated infielder David Bode for assignment. Additionally, the club today claimed right-handed pitcher Gavin Hollowell off waivers from the Arizona Diamondbacks and have optioned him to the Iowa Cubs, the AAA level. And that leads us right into our discussion because the Cubs start the day 5.5 games back of the final wild card spot over the last 10 games. They've gone 5-5. Meanwhile, the team that they're chasing, the Atlanta Braves, holding that final wild card spot, they've gone 7-3. So they've actually lost 2 games over the last 10 game span. But they start a series with a Miami Marlins team that is not good. There's only one team that's got a worse record than the Marlins. That would be the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah.
They're 46-81. We had this discussion before we came on the air today. The Cubs need to sweep the Miami Marlins. Probably. But I say if they just win the series, they're in better shape.
I mean, in better shape, yes. They're 2 games under 500. And to me, they've been kind of flirting with in and around the 500 mark for so long.
Haven't gotten there, though.
At this point, they have not reached 500 in months since really they started off well early in the season, got through the month of April. Like, oh, okay, this is the team we were hoping for. Everybody get ready for the Craig Council Parade. And then the parade was canceled, and then next thing we knew, folks were pretty frustrated with how things have gone. And that was the case through the majority of the first half of the year. We get to approaching the All-Star break. Trade deadline's approaching. Y'all better figure something out, or everybody's getting traded. And then it turned out they figured a few things out. Then they come out of the All-Star break. Everybody didn't get traded, but everybody didn't get acquired. And so they're just in this space. They're in sort of this purgatory. The expanded baseball postseason keeps the Cubs and virtually everyone else, not named the Marlins and the White Sox, in the mix for the postseason.
And the Rockies. We throw them in.
Yeah, that's a good call. Good call. Yes. The sport as a whole benefits from the expanded postseason, but fan bases as a whole find themselves in this frustrated purgatory. It's not just Cubs fans. There's so many fan bases around baseball who are just in this space of wondering, what is my team capable of? Is there a run in them? The answer for the Cubs up to this point has been, there's not like a magnificent run. There's a good run. There's an above average run.
They've won their last 2 series. Problem is, they got swept by a clearly superior Guardians team. There's a reason they're in the battle for best record in the in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
So when you look at that and you're like, the schedule's so soft, it feels like winning series would have been enough if the Braves were 3-7 over the last 10 games. But the Braves are like, we're not going down without a fight.
Yeah.
They've got tons of injuries, issues, but yet they're playing good baseball. They just took a series from the Phillies, who are leading their division, and it looks like the Braves are set. Now, if the Braves fall off, winning series is all it's going to take. But if the Braves don't fall off, yeah, you need sweeps.
The offense has been better. The offense...
Still not good enough, though.
It's not good enough. That's the thing. Like, one of the things we were talking about off-air was the idea of getting to September and then really assessing whether or not this is a team that has a chance here. Just like we were talking about with the preseason, the record during the preseason doesn't matter to me, but how does it look? This last week of August, the record is important, but whether or not they're winning series versus sweeping, I agree with you, just mathematically, it doesn't matter as much, but I do think how they look matters. If they're still within a few games of striking distance of the wild card, but they still are scoring one run or getting shut out every couple of games, then there's no reason, in my opinion, to have legitimate hope about what the Cubs are going to be capable of going through the month of September, coming down the stretch. Can they come back, claw back, get into the wild card, actually make the wild card, make the baseball playoffs? If they don't mount a more consistent offense where the bullpen has grown leaps and bounds from the early stretch of the season, they have continued, beyond any of the injuries they faced with the starting pitching staff, they have continued to have excellent starting pitching. What they've done defensively, there were so many concerns about the Cubs' defense throughout much of the year, and they have found a way to put a quality defense together as they've gotten healthy and stayed on the field together. And now the defense looks very close to the defense we anticipated the Cubs would have. The offense is improved, but it's not at the level that you need if you're going to make the kind of run they need to make because of the hole that they dug themselves up to this point. It feels like too little, too late. So until they change my mind, until they do start mounting like some legit big-time offense, just crooked number after crooked number, then I have no reason to believe that they're going to be able to make the kind of run they need to make here.
So basically, you're in a position right now where it's status quo.
Yeah.
And the status quo has been you guys are a middling team hanging around 500 but cannot get over the hump.
Like the majority of the sport.
So here's the problem. They've got a very easy schedule.
Mm-hmm.
The easiest schedule in the National League remaining.
Mm-hmm.
But their next 12 games are against the Pirates, the Nationals, the Pirates, and, of course, starting a series with the Marlins. And you're thinking, okay, those are all teams you can really take advantage of.
Yeah.
Maybe they need like a 10-2, an 11-1. They need like a big run. And here's why. After that, the last two big bad series on the schedule, you got to go back-to-back, home against the Yankees at the Los Angeles Dodgers. And if you're not in position to do something at the end of these 12 games, I have a hard time believing that you're going to make that push at that point. Now, within that 12 games, here's the second problem. Even though those teams are not good, bruh, Paul Skeens twice on the schedule. Not right. Once, but twice. That's problematic.
And we'll see because, you know, we don't know how much definitively Paul Skeens is going to pitch coming down the stretch here. You know, talking about maybe either shutting him down or limiting the action and the starts that he gets, kind of, you know, Garrett Crochet style, is make sure he gets through this season healthy as a full-time starter. But whether the Cubs face Skeens or not, I mean, if he faces Skeens, then yeah, chalk it up is probably L. But even if they don't, Pittsburgh is looking at the Cubs the same way the Cubs are looking at Pittsburgh.
That's facts.
Oh, hey, we got a series we might be able to win because we're facing the Cubs and they're super inconsistent. That's the same way the Cubs are looking at Pittsburgh. It's the Spider-Man meme. So I don't really take a lot of additional comfort in the fact that the schedule lightens up here coming down the stretch.
Yeah, things are not looking good for the Cubs Northerners, right now.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate. You know what's not unfortunate? The time that we've spent together.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Here today.
Very tender close to the show. Appreciate that.
Listen, Anthony Herron has been on one. I'm Marshall Harris just hanging out. We've had Herb Howard, who gave us the 11-12 win prediction.
Ooh, what if it was like Harris, Herron, and Howard? Herron, Howard, and Harris?
H to the third.
Triple
power.
H?
H cubed.
I mean, until they figure things out,
like
man.
H.
It could be anything until they figure this thing out in the afternoons.
I'm okay with that.
I mean, I guess in theory we got to include Spiegel somewhere.
Yeah, he'll work more days.
Herron, Harris, Howard, and Spiegel.
Yeah,
that doesn't have the same ring to it. But
we'll figure it out. It's like a law firm, you know. Sometimes it doesn't make all the way all sense. Like three names make sense, but the fourth, you're like, why is he in there? Charles Davis, thanks.
Shout out to Speed
to him coming on. Mike Renner and his controversial tweet. We appreciate him as well. Big thanks to the producers of this show, Robbie Triano, Tyler Farengol. Coming up next, it is Cubs pregame. It's the Cubs and the Marlins for three. The team with the worst record in the National League. Can they make it happen? We'll find out. Until then, we thank y'all for joining us here on Score Afternoons with Anthony Herron and Marshall Harris.
What's your guilty pleasure? What's your guilty pleasure song?
It might be Pony. That might be my guilty pleasure song.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.